In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters. This past Friday, we celebrated the feast of the entry of the Theotokos into the temple. And this is one of the 12 great feasts that has been celebrated since ancient times. And it marks the occasion when the parents of the Theotokos, the Virgin Mary, brought her to the temple to dedicate her to God's service at the age of 3 years old. And so Mary grew up in the temple according to holy tradition, and she spent most of her time in prayer and in preparation for her divine mission to become the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at about the age of 12, she then left the temple and then was betrothed to Joseph. And through her complete obedience to God's will, she willingly accepted the divine will to conceive Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And thus she truly became the temple of the Lord herself, since the Lord was pleased to dwell within her and be born of her. So this idea of the temple was, you know, of course, the place where God dwelled, the place where the Israelites worshipped God. Just a historical note, though, that's significant is the fact that the original temple built by Solomon was first destroyed by the Babylonians. And so this temple at the time of, you know, Mother of God and Christ that was in Jerusalem had been rebuilt. So it was the second, temple, as it were. And according to rabbinical tradition, it says that this temple was actually missing five things that had been in the first temple. And these were the fire from on high, the oil of anointment, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Spirit, the Urim and the Thummim, and these were the mysterious stones that the high priest wore on his breastplate, and it enabled him to discern God's will. And so, we know that. Remember, when the archangel Gabriel says to Mary, "Hail, thou who art full of grace." So, in other words, when Mary came to the temple, the high priest was inspired, and he brought little toddler Mary into the Holy of Holies, which only the high priest was supposed to go in. In fact, in the Old Testament, we read that people who were unworthy basically died. You know, they were killed. So they used to tie a rope onto the high priest's leg in case, you know, he wasn't found worthy to God, and then they would have to yank him out by the feet, you know, to get his body out of the Holy of Holies. So the fact that they brought Mary into the Holy of Holies was extremely significant. So in other words, the temple had really, you know, lost much of its grace at that time, but God gave the Holy Theotokos as the bearer of grace. And so when she grew up and went forth, Mary then really became the new temple, as it were. And then Christ was born from her, and then Christ sent down the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost and formed the church. So now the church has taken the place of the temple. And so the temple is the place where God dwells, and of course we're supposed to also be temples of God, as St. Paul talks about. So in today's gospel, we see another image of the temple in this miraculous healing that took place of this bent woman who had been bound by Satan for 18 years. And of that number 18, sometimes, you know, in the gospel, the numbers actually have significance besides just the literal meaning. And St. Ambrose of Milan says that this signifies that perfection is in the 10 commandments of the law. So there's your 10. And then in the number 8 is the fullness of the resurrection. And this number 8 signifies the 8th day, or the future age, the world to come. So God created the world in 6 days, 7th day he rested, and then on the 8th day, which will be coming, Christ will come in his second coming and bring the new heaven and the new earth. So we see in this number of 18 years, 10 plus 8, and that since Christ's incarnation, we need to not only fulfill the law of the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and so forth, but we also need to acquire God's grace in order to enter into the fullness of the resurrection. Now this ruler of the synagogue was certainly someone who understood God's law and the Ten Commandments. And yet, when a miracle of grace is manifest right before his eyes, rather than, you know, praising God that this poor woman had been healed after 18 long, difficult years of suffering and misery, instead, he rebukes Christ, although he doesn't rebuke him directly. He rebukes the people, but he's really, you know, trying to get to Christ through the people. And he's accusing Christ of violating the commandments of the law, because it says that we're supposed to rest on the Sabbath day, and that this woman should have received healing some other day besides the Sabbath day. But St. Nikolai Vlimirovich points out that this ruler of the synagogue, rather than being a virtuous example of fulfilling God's commandments out of his extreme love for God, instead was filled with the sin of self-love. Loving only himself, a man loves neither God nor his fellow man. He loves only his thoughts about himself, his illusions about himself. But as St. Nikolai says, self-love is not really love, but it's a rejection of God and a contempt for other men, whether open or concealed. And so St. Theophylact also adds that Satan, who had bound this woman in the first place, once Christ healed her, was vexed at her deliverance because he desired her continued affliction. And so he bound the ruler of the synagogue with spite, and through the mouth of this man, Satan reviled the miracle. And this is how he always attacks the good. So now, and today, we just heard the epistle from St. Paul to the Ephesians. And in this particular epistle, St. Paul shows us how we can fight against Satan and be victorious with God's help. And first of all, he reveals the location of our enemy when he says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits of wickedness in high places. So any commanding officer in an army is going to want to tell his soldiers all about the enemy that they're about to go into battle with so that they're prepared, you know, so that they know kind of what, where the enemy is and what sorts of weapons he has and what sort of weapons we are to use against them and so forth. So in the epistle of St. Paul, he's, as it were, preparing us to know where our enemy really is. And our enemy is really the evil one, or Satan, who constitute this spiritual wickedness and evil doing, which is actually of a spiritual nature. It's not just, you know, literal and physical in this world, but it's really in this world of the spirit. And so, in order to fight Satan and be able to become victorious, we have to actually enter into that battleground using the spiritual weapons that God made available to us. Some of you might have seen a long time ago the old horror movie, The Exorcist, but at one point the priest is trying to cast out the devil from the girl, but the priest starts to punch the girl, you know, because the devil is mocking the priest. And so, you know, it's all ruined and everything because he doesn't really discern that he needs to be praying to God to cast out this devil, not to try to beat up the, you know, the poor girl. And so that's an example of how it doesn't work to try to fight evil only just on the physical. I mean, of course, we must have police and military to keep some degree of order in the world. But even if we could lock up all the criminals, even if we could lock up all the terrorists, there would still be evil because Satan would find some other way to you know, get at us. So we have to fight him with these spiritual weapons. And those spiritual weapons, St. Paul says, are that our loins must be girt about with the truth of right doctrines and faith, and also with the truth of a virtuous life. Recently, we had a guest speaker here, Father Michael Oyer, who gave a talk on the need to develop an Orthodox worldview. And this is when we really take the truth of our faith, of the scriptures, of the Holy Fathers, and we apply it to our lives so that we can actually discern what things are true and what things are not true. And this is a tremendous assistance to us in our spiritual life. The breastplate of righteousness is really the power of the virtues that we gain by struggling against our passions and, with God's help, overcoming those passions. And the shield of faith protects us from the fiery darts of the evil one, just as a shield held in front of us protects us from the blows of the enemy. The helmet of salvation means unshakable hope in God, which saves and protects our head, which is really signifies our mind and intellect, from every assault of evil thoughts. And as St. Theophylact says, the faith and hope are really joined together. They're two powerful allies. So you have the shield and the helmet, you know, that protect you by having faith and by having hope. And the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, which for us really means observing the directives and commandments of the Lord. So when we do that, we are wielding that sword of the Spirit. It's been said that one of Satan's greatest achievements is to convince people that he does not exist. And so that gives him free rein to you know, tempt people and so on. And this is why St. Paul has taken care to reveal this to us, that evil is a spiritual power that only masquerades or only works through various people and through this fallen world, so that people want to blame others or blame various conditions and try to fight against evil using only material means. But if that's the case, then of course Satan has really won the battle, because he's going to continue doing evil in the spiritual realm. But when we pray, when we celebrate the Divine Liturgy, we drive Satan away. So brothers and sisters, let us acquire the spiritual armor and these weapons that St. Paul tells about us by acquiring the grace of the Holy Spirit through prayer and fasting and good works, and through exercising ourselves in the virtues and struggling against the passions, and through deepening and strengthening Christ's truth in our hearts and minds by studying the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Fathers and applying this truth in our lives each day, that we too may be victorious in our spiritual warfare and be healed of our spiritual infirmity. Glory be to our God.